Hi, I'm Piper.
And I'm Erin.
Welcome to Off the Tracks podcast, where we explore what it means to do law differently. Today's episode is in partnership with Lawyers In-House. Lawyers In-House is comprised of a team of experienced former in-house counsel who are ready to hit the ground running to deliver world-class legal support that takes work off your plate and makes life easier along the way. Whether you're a solopreneur or a Fortune 500 company or fall anywhere in between, Lawyers In-House will meet and exceed your business's needs.
Bindu Dhaliwal is a seasoned professional with more than 15 years of experience in sustainability and environmental, social, and governance. Currently, she is CIBC's Senior Vice President, ESG and Corporate Governance, responsible for its ESG strategy, disclosure, governance, and engagement activities. In her role, Bindu also oversees CIBC's Corporate Secretary function, Whistleblower Program, and Client Complaints Appeals Office. A lawyer by training, Bindu began her career in the litigation department of a major Canadian law firm and clerked at the Ontario Court of Appeal. She has a Bachelor of Commerce and a graduate certificate in sustainability from the University of Toronto and obtained her law degree from Queen's University. She also has received a graduate diploma in social innovation from the University of Waterloo. We are so excited to have Bindu on this series.
Bindu, we are so excited to have you here today. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. So we're going to dive right in. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how your career has evolved over time. So after law school, you know, you've had many really interesting roles since. And so we'd love to hear a little bit about the trajectory of where you started to where you are today.
Thanks. So I did a little bit more of the traditional at a law school, found an articling job, thought I wanted to be a litigator, went to a firm, did my summer there, article there. I went to clerk at the Ontario Court of Appeal for a year, which was really interesting, but I did it the year after articling. Well, most people there was articling. I'd highly recommend that because I feel like I got the articling experience and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So I know some people want to stay at the firm and sort of fast track and, you know, make that partner track, but I'd highly recommend, and the courts were actually really interested in having people that have had experience and have articles. So I did that. I came back to the firm and quickly realized, you know, maybe litigation wasn't my thing. And so I was looking around for different roles and I got a role at a bank at that time, which was sort of a quasi-litigation, quasi-corporate commercial. It was sort of like this in-between role. Where I was working with investment advisors and wealth advisors to sort of deal with issues and help them sort out issues before they became litigation, before it got passed on to litigation. Really liked that role. And I learned a lot about, I did securities law at that time. I learned in the role sort of governance types of functions, AML, anti-money laundering, powers of attorneys, cross, like it was a real wide role. And then I'll be honest, after doing that for a few years, I was trying to figure out what to do next. Did a program at University of Toronto during my mat leave. At that time, I thought I'd have time during my mat leave. Total misnomer. At the time, I didn't realize, nobody warned me, but I did the program anyways during part of my mat leave, and it was a certificate in sustainability. And that really triggered my interest in ESG, sustainability, all those pieces. And at the end of my mat leave, I actually came back and I was going to quit, thinking this is the type of role I wanted to do. And the corporate secretary at the time, the head of corporate governance, said to me, well, why wouldn't you just stay here? I actually did quit. She called me 2 weeks later at home and said, well, would you take this role here? And I said, well, I don't think a bank has this type of role. Like, it's usually mining companies, resource companies. And she's like, well, actually, we've been thinking about it. So do you want it? Why don't you take a crack at writing a job description? When I first started, I had like 5 bullet points and that was it. And I was doing a lot of corporate governance stuff. It was the first legal role or legal counsel in-house in ESG at a Canadian bank. So I didn't have a lot to work off of, but it grew over time. And there definitely was, and I'd say I give credit to the general counsel at the time who had a lot of foresight because I didn't really see a legal role, but and I'd say that was the beginning of sort of my legal career in ESG.
Yeah, wow, that sounds super intimidating to not only just, you know, apply to the job, but also write the job description and be like, okay, so I want to be in this role and this is what I think it should look like. So for those of us who are maybe not so familiar with those sorts of terms, can you explain to us a bit more what ESG and corporate governance entails?
Yeah, certainly. So ESG stands for environmental, social, and governance. And so they're the non-financial factors that people can use to evaluate a company or companies can use to assess themselves, right? So especially public companies like investors and shareholders will look at their financial performance, but these are other factors that those stakeholders and other stakeholders can assess themselves against. Really started off in sustainability and sort of green and what you were doing, sort of be environmentally conscious and social, what were you doing in the community, really has evolved since then to be much more specific to the organization, specific to the community, and really metrics driven. Corporate governance has always been there, and that's currently the other part of my role. That's sort of how a company, you know, the corporate functions and how they operate, the board procedures, the governance procedures, the engagement between management, the board, the various levels of decision making. So corporate governance, especially for a public company, again, can be very driven by regulations, by securities laws. And so there's a whole bunch of law, I'd say, focused on the corporate governance side.
That's so neat, Bindu. So you were saying on your maternity leave, you went and you went to this program at U of T, right? And it was that the certificate in sustainability?
Yeah.
And so do you feel that that certificate in sustainability has really like bolstered your capabilities in ESG roles? Do you feel like someone, like it's been a massive benefit, I'm sure, but I'm sure there are also people that do ESG roles that don't have this type of training. Is there any sort of prerequisite or is it sort of a niche that sometimes people either work towards or fall into?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, it's interesting about the time, right? So this was 2011. Sustainability and ESG was really new. I think at that time, me taking that program really did a number of things. Well, you know, this is what they always say, you speak up and say what you want to do. I'm glad that when I was walking around the floor and quote unquote resigning, I was telling people what I wanted to do, because had I not done that, the corporate, you know, the Deputy General Counsel of Corporate Secretary at the time would not have said to me, oh, we've been thinking about this. So two things sort of aligned. And two is, and she said this to me, I took the initiative to take the program. So they knew my legal work and they were happy with that. But the fact that I had taken the initiative to do this extra programming in ESG really supported the case in terms of them offering me the role. But that, you know, I say back then it was fairly new. I'd say when I hire now, there's a ton of people who have experience in the type of work that they've done, or they've, you know, they've actually taken courses. Some of law schools offer courses in this area, or they've done masters on the side, or they have a science background, a climate science background. So it's a different time right now. I think having some of the more technical experience in some of these issues is really helpful, especially on the environmental side. Otherwise, I'd say on the corporate governance disclosure side, even where ESG intersects with that really closely, experience really matters. And so I think it's, you know, it's very different 10 years later. It's like there's more opportunities to be engaged than back then. Really, I had to take the program, otherwise I wouldn't have learned about it.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. And that's great to hear that it is growing and becoming this expanding area of law. And we'd love to know a bit more about the size of your team and the structure of that, because I know it can always differ, and we've really enjoyed hearing a bit more about what, you know, an in-house team looks like and what these sorts of roles entail as it, you know, varies from company to company.
Yeah, certainly. So I report to the General Counsel, Chief Legal Officer. That's the role, that's the title role, Kiki Lomaluma, who's very awesome. And so my world covers three distinct groups. So I'll call it the ESG, the enterprise ESG team, runs ESG strategy, governance, you know, policy and stakeholder engagement. There are no lawyers in that world. At, you know, I was in the bank, had lawyers, lots of good skill sets. Currently, we don't have any lawyers in it. It's very much a strategy and governance team. Again, could hire lawyers, could hire somebody with that experience, because there's lots of, you know, complementary skill sets. Then I have the corporate secretary and what I call the securities team that has lawyers that lead that, those both both the securities sort of treasury role and the corporate secretary role are two lawyers, and they have sort of law clerks or people that may or may not have legal experience underneath them that run all the board and subsidiary board governance programs. Then I have a complaints team, that's the complaints appeals office at the Canadian banks. You sort of have this third level to appeal your customer complaints to, as well as a complaints handling program that runs sort of the end-to-end program for complaints at the bank. That again has in the past been held by a lawyer, currently not, so it sort of evolves over time. Again, it's a skill set really tied to regulatory changes and the Bank Act and stuff, so it's really akin to being a lawyer in place and or there's lawyers sort of in that stream.
That's really neat, because as we go through this in-house series, it's so interesting to hear. I think a few things, like Erin and I are learning a lot. You know, we both articled at like mid-sized firms, and then Erin is a sole practitioner, and I like to say I'm retired, but I didn't retire my license, and I did work in-house, but in a really like in sort of a nonprofit space. And so it's so interesting. So many people that we've spoken to on this series talk so much about the business of being in-house and working in the business and being involved in the business. And what's really neat, Bindu, is now correct me if I'm wrong, but throughout your in-house career, you've worked exclusively in banking, different banks though. And so what have you most enjoyed about that experience? Like, you're in a really interesting industry itself, but then you're also doing this niche work within a specific industry. So how has your experience sort of varied between these two large organizations, but within the same industry?
Yeah, so I always say that, and so many people say this in the banking industry and other large industries, is you can have a number of different careers within the same institution, right? So it started off as a wealth lawyer, what they call wealth advisory securities. I did some securities stuff. I went into, even when I went in the ESG role, did a lot of more corporate governance than ESG. Then partly because I wanted to move up in the organization, and a lot of in-house roles, you know, you can hit sort of the ceiling in terms of the next senior role is a real big jump. And so what we're always encouraged to do in a lot of these organizations is take adjacent roles in compliance, in regulatory group, AML. And so I did a secondment actually in anti-money laundering group for a while, non-legal role, but really adjacent. And then I really took, you know, at that time I thought, okay, I'm going to do a really big shift. And I did a right turn to be the ombudsperson at a bank, head of client complaints, not a legal role at all, often filled by a lawyer because of the skill set again, but really close to the business, learned a lot about the business. I have to say, thought that role was only going to be a 2-year stint. COVID came along, ended up being a 4-year stint. And at the end of the 4 years, I'll be, you know, I took this right turn, much more senior role, reporting directly to the general counsel. But I thought, as like, I made a mistake after a few years. I was like, I needed to course correct and go back to ESG, back to what I was more passionate about. I did end up doing that at CIBC, got an executive role in ESG. But the way the world works, right, I've had all this experience over the years. And my current role, I think part of the reason I was successful in obtaining the current role, it's actually brought me back to sort of where I brought. I have complaints, which I did, and have quite an extensive experience, corporate governance and securities, which was the original part of my career, and it's got ESG. So I think in any industry that you're in or any large organization, think about all the different types of like secondments or rotations, or even step outside for a little bit, because having that experience gives you the opportunity to have leadership roles.
Yeah, that is such a great lesson about, you know, feeling like you've taken a left turn, but really actually having taken a right turn. And sometimes it's really hard to differentiate between when you have taken the right turn or whether you're just not in the right spot altogether. What advice would you have for someone who feels like they've found themselves in a role that isn't the right fit for them and they're not quite sure whether to, you know, take another turn or to just stay where they are? Do you have any advice for people who've been going through this?
Yeah, the best advice I got was after I left the law firm was every 2 years, reevaluate where you are, figure out what you've learned, learned and what spot you need to, you know, where you need to go next. Not to say you need to change roles every 3 years, but use that third year to sort of reevaluate. And if you feel like you're not in the right role, well, and I really felt like this, I kind of beat myself over that, I think, in year four. And I realized, and in hindsight, like I gained a lot of skills. Like think about like sort of, and write down like, what are the skill sets? What are the experiences? Cause it's going to be valuable in another role or positioning yourself. You always have an opportunity to learn, but then think about where you want to go. And the second piece of advice after the 2 year, 3 year reflection is don't always think that the role has to be, consider lateral roles. It's what you call zigzagging, not that you have to sort of jump to a higher, you know, more senior role, because zigzagging can sometimes take you faster to more senior roles than trying to wait for that jump. Because again, some of those larger roles are having a broader breadth of experience. And so I zigzagged, I took lateral roles. And I say that there was probably a good 6-7 years in the middle of my career where I was like, I'm just going back and forth in sort of director level roles, but it actually paid off in the long run.
That's so neat, Bindu. I don't think I've ever heard that advice before, but it makes perfect sense to me about the zigzagging. I think that that's fantastic. And I think that that will help a lot of people who are at a stage in their career where they feel like they want to make a move, but also might not feel that they have the requisite experience to make the next move. So that's fantastic.
One qualifier on the zigzagging, right? Like when you move to a different role, it's either make sure that it's a different type of scope, different subject matter, or different type of skills that you're getting, right? There's a purpose to move. And sometimes the purpose, it may not be as self-evident. It might be definitely a new subject matter, like it was for me, but it wasn't as self-evident to me until, you know, hindsight is 2020, sort of looking at the role that I have now and all these sort of pieces.
Yeah, and I think that that's so important too about the every 2 years tip, because we are almost at, well, if you didn't retire your license, but we're almost at the 3 year mark. And I can't believe how fast it's flown. To me, it feels like I was just called to the bar and then I'm a brand new lawyer, but it's almost been 3 years. And so I love that advice of, you know, taking stock every 2 years, evaluate, okay, what have I learned? What is this rule, the best rule for me now? And I think sometimes it's really easy to get stuck on the tracks. Love it with the little puns with our title here, but it really is. It's easy to get into a track and say, okay, I'm doing this. This is what made sense for me a couple of years ago, and just keep your head down and keep going. But I think it's also really important to, like you said, carve out that time, take stock of where you are, what skills do you have? What do you want to have so that you don't end up, you know, 20 years down the line thinking, oh, wait, I don't like this job. And oh, I could have done this and that.
And sometimes I think the other, you know, especially depending on the type of organization you have, big or small, when you do that mapping and think about what you want to, you don't have to move. You might speak to your manager and your boss and be like, this is what I'm looking for, this experience. And that was the comment I did with anti-money laundering for 3 months. I really wanted to try something different, you know, and so I did a 3 month secondment. And the only other thing, I mean, it's really easy for me to say a lot of this, I'll be honest, reflecting back. I think I got more purposeful about my career in the last 10 years. In the last, 7 to 10 years. The first 3 years I was learning, law firm, clerking, even my first years at the bank, 3 to 6 years, like really learning, because you learn so much. Then I'll be honest, like there was another 5-6 years that I was learning, but in a different way. I was, you know, I knew what my job was. I took the building aside. I went on maternity leave, my kids. It wasn't the time for me to move. So while I did that assessment every 2-3 years, I didn't switch roles. I took the program and decided to like sign up for webinars. I decided to like, you know, do things in-house. I signed up for the diversity and inclusion committee. Like there's different ways to do things. So also don't put so much pressure that you have to move, because there's different points in your career, especially when my kids were very little. It was actually better for me to stay in a role that I could really succeed in and I knew well.
No, that's so important, Bindu. And I think like each career is so unique and each person has, you know, different goals and different things that they hope for themselves and different things they hope to learn. And as you said, doing that sort of every 2 or 3 year evaluation is so important to see if your plans have changed. And there's a quote, and Aaron and I are famous on this podcast for saying quotes wrong, but sometimes the quote is something like, you know, sometimes like the thing you thought you wanted isn't actually what you wanted. I'm like saying it completely wrong, but I think that's really interesting advice. And I think especially no matter where you're at in your career, that totally comes into play, because whether you're early in career and you're sort of mapping, you know, a bigger picture, or you're more in the middle of your career and you're trying to find like maybe a quote, like final last hurrah or whatever it might be. I think everybody just doing that self-reflection is such a key part of career planning, and while also recognizing that sometimes you can't plan at all. Mm-hmm. So Bindu, we would love to know, when you think about your experience throughout your career and all of the different roles you've held, and I loved also how you talked about sometimes doing that zigzagging doesn't involve moving companies, because you've stayed at companies for really long periods of time and held many different roles within the company, which I think is so cool and has really probably allowed you to be really immersed in the business. So when you think about the trajectory of your career, do you have like a favorite memory or proudest moment of something that you either achieved for your team or for the company or for yourself, or something that's like very self-reflective that you feel is like a really defining moment for you?
That's a really good question. I think the big, so if I talk from a career perspective, I always say, when I quote unquote quit after taking the UT program, I said I was going to leave my legal role while, and I was very clear to articulate why and what I wanted to do. It's the first time I think I had done that in terms of what I wanted to do next. And people, you know, this, I don't know what the saying or the quote is, I'm going to get it wrong, but if you speak up and say what you want, you're more likely to get it. And so that for me was such a defining moment, because it was actually true. Like I saw that in action, and I did that a few other times. Like I did it a few other times where I, you know, even though I didn't use chief for a number of years, I said, I want a senior leadership role in the legal and compliance team. I want to report to the general counsel. I want a role. I said that didn't happen all, you know, automatically. But again, the ombudsman role came up, I interviewed for it, whatever. Like I think consistently, that first moment of me saying it wasn't really purposeful, I'll be honest. I was just quitting, so to speak. And I was telling people, but I realized, say what you want, people hear you and people will keep you in mind. So I think that was a defining moment. The second thing is, when I came to CIBC and we came out with our renewed ESG strategy, amazing people at CIBC doing ESG strategy and work for a number of years. The enterprise team, just when I came in, I was sort of built the centralized team. And, you know, being new to the organization, and after I think it was 9 months, we came out with our renewed strategy. It was really an output of all the different groups across the bank who had been, you know, I had the opportunity to facilitate and bring it forward, but it was really a great product. And it really showed to me like, what an organization can do, such a large organization, when the collaboration is there. So that for me was more of a product defining moment.
Thanks for sharing that. And I like that you're honest too about, you know, this was a really important moment, but you may not have, you know, thought when I say this, that all these things are going to roll out into place perfectly. But now looking back on it, you can see what an impact just doing that had on your career. And it's just so important to sort of speak what you want, because no one else knows what's going on inside your head or what you want. And the only way to do that is to make sure you communicate that. And like you said, then people have that in mind and say, oh, you know, who'd be great for this role? And then that's how you start to get places. So we'd love to pick your mind a little bit more and find out what you think needs to change or evolve in the legal profession.
That's a good question. I've been out of a firm for a long time, so I can't say to that. I think, let me just think that through. I think one of the things is, if you're in-house, it's not, you know, when you're an external counsel, you give advice and, you know, whoever's taking the advice can do what they want with it. In-house, you're a partner. And like, I think that's, for me, in terms of the organizations I've sort of quote unquote grown up with. That's really evolved. When I first started my career, gave advice in-house and the business walked away with it. Aaron, your question is what should change. I think that has to change a bit more, like across the board. And I know that where I am right now is you're really a partner to solve the solution alongside with, it's not like internal, you know, people used to say back when it's an internal client. That's my internal client. That's not your internal client. Like you're a partner. And I think that has to happen a bit more across the board because it's not a question of giving advice about risk or, you know, and then passing it off. It's a real collaboration.
No, that's so interesting. And I think too, like when you speak about being an internal partner, that's so crucial. And I think in so many ways, like something I've loved about this series and having these in-house conversations is the way that we can all reframe ourselves within the context of our roles and like all reframe sort of the ways in which we align ourselves and immerse ourselves in the business of whatever role we're in. Because whether you're in-house or in a firm or working for an organization in like a law adjacent way, sort of situating yourself with the company or organization in a way that benefits your career and benefits your learning is so important. And it really seems that, you know, every conversation we've had on this series and learning from your story of, you know, zigzagging your way through gaining so much breadth and depth of knowledge, it just shows that when you really immerse yourself in the organization, there's so much to gain from that, especially when you're in a good organization that supports that growth and development. So Bindu, I've really loved learning about the ways in which you've, you know, planned and also not planned aspects of your career. And so we always like to ask the question to every guest that we've had on the podcast, what is something new you've learned recently? And it can be anything. It can be law related, not law related, life related, something with your family, whatever it might be.
So one thing, I'll stick to the career piece. So one thing I've learned is, I've just taken on a new role. It's been 4 weeks since I've taken on this role. And what I thought the role was, because, you know, as lawyers, we got job descriptions, you have frameworks, there's regulatory frameworks, those are very clear. I know what the output of the role is, but there's all this gray in between. And so much, especially in a leadership role, is about what I'll call operational excellence, right? Like, how are we going to execute? How are we going to work together? How are we going to operate? And that's been a real big learning for me. I've had it in, I'd say, smaller pieces before, but to look at it as sort of a bigger picture has been a real eye-opener to me to say it's not just about execution. It's really about sort of weaving all these pieces together. And I think it's a muscle that I'm learning.
Yeah, that is interesting because That is interesting because I think as lawyers, we like our checklists, we like our rules, we have it in the statute, you can go look at the regulations, you've got like X, Y, Z, this is what you need to do. And so sort of learning those new ropes, I'm sure is always a new and interesting challenge, but I'm sure as you go through it and continue to learn, you'll find ways to make that work in your new role. But thanks so much for sharing that with us. And thank you so much for spending time and sharing your stories with us today. We have so enjoyed having you on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you again to our partner, Lawyers In-House, a law firm composed of former in-house counsel. To learn more, visit lawyersinhouse.com. to see how they can provide insightful, pragmatic, and solutions-focused legal services to you and your legal department.